All right, Pastor Myers has asked Brother Vaught to preach for us tonight. And so Brother Vaught and I go way back. I think, ninth grade. You were a senior or junior, and we used to play basketball together. We used to get in arguments here and there, but at the end of the day, we got along. You know, I'm thankful for, I think you said you were reached on Brother Board's bus route, or your family originally, back in Iowa when he was 3 years old. Okay, so when people say the bus ministry is not relevant anymore, I honestly don't want to hear it. But then he came and was part of the public school ministry here at our church, really reached and grew here, saved here, went away but was still faithful when he went away, and God's brought him back here. We believe God orchestrated events to bring him back here, and he's going to have an adult Sunday school class. He's going to help with Earning for Learning, the B-Bus ministry, and help with some changes we're making for ministry in the college. And if that's not enough, you say, that's a lot. He came to the office the other day and said, what else can I do? I said, that's what I'm talking about. And so I don't think, Brother Vaught, I've ever heard you preach. So I'm looking forward to it. Brother Vaught, it's all yours. Thanks for being willing to preach.
Amen. Well, I would have to say, I can't believe I'm up here. Amen. I cannot believe I'm up here. It's always been my dream, daily as a layman for 10 years. It was my dream before I went to the ministry to someday God's going to allow me to preach at Pacific Baptist Church. Amen. And that kept me going. You know, if you don't know where I was before I got saved and such, God is amazing. I was born on Martin Luther King. I was raised on Martin Luther King Boulevard. And we had some, you know, crazy guys out there who had a truck and said, hey, it's time for you to come to church. I'm going to hop on this truck to church every day. How many of you remember that truck? All right, you remember? Somebody remember the truck? Okay, some of you don't, you're not here that long, okay? That truck came in, the public school ministry truck, came in, and it scraped the ground every time it came in. But it didn't matter, I just want to be in church. I got saved on October 26, 1996, by Brother Jerry Sin, Brother Sam Sin. I always said, sin led me to the Lord, amen? And October 26th, Raymond and Anaheim, right on that front door, I got saved. When I was 11 years old, I was in seventh grade. 3 days later, I became 12. And October 26th, 1996. And God, with his grace and his faithfulness, allowed me to be here to challenge you folks today on some things that helped me throughout my journey as a layman. And then when God called me to the ministry, I've learned some things. And I hope today will be a blessing to you, the message. It's nothing from myself. It's from the Bible. I'll try to keep you awake, amen. But it is now 7:30. I'll be done in 10 minutes if you listen well, okay? All right? Let's turn our Bibles here to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to use one of these, guys. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. Oh, man, that was a good one. Woke you up. Here we go. Galatians chapter 6. I live in Sacramento. My family and I, my wife, my kids, I'm so grateful for them. I wouldn't be here today if my wife didn't support God's will for my life. And I thank God for her and my kids. Thank you so much for being so nice and kind to them. It is hard. My wife made a lot of big moves. We got married from Bible college there. We got married, and she moved down here. And then we went back up north, and then 11 years later, we came back. So there's a lot of big moves. So thank you so much for being so kind and so nice. People up there are very nice, okay? Have you ever been to Sacramento, they even, when you're going through the line in the grocery store, they check your eggs to make sure your eggs are okay, all right? They bag it up for you, all right? They say hello. They don't just get you through the line. They know your name. They know your kids' names. They give you stickers. It's amazing. I mean, not me stickers, but my kids' stickers. All right? It's amazing. It's so fun up there. So nice. But I came down here. Okay? And we went to Walmart. And how many go shop at Walmart? I'm going to shop at Walmart. If you know this, there's some crazy people there. You know? Right? So I'm in line. This is a Cambodia town, right? You know, it's a bunch of Cambodians here. And I'm in line, and I'm standing in line, and all I went for was a diaper, what do you call that? Wipes, there you go, thank you, all right, my sister, all right. Diaper wipes and some diapers, okay? So here I am in line, and there's this Cambodian gentleman in front of me. And he sees me. He goes, "You look like my son who passed away." And I said, "Really? Okay." And he says, "Can I just call you son while we're in line during this time?" I said, sure. Sure. "Hi, Dad. How you doing?" He said, "Son, how you doing?" Okay. And he spoke English too, you know. And the lady's there. She's checking him out. And I'm talking to him like, "Dad, great to see you. It's been a long time," and things like that. And we get done. He rings up the cashier, rings up his order or groceries and such. And then he rings up mine. And then he says, "That will be $225. Okay. And I was like, No. What are you talking about?" He said, "That guy is your dad, right?" I'm like, No. He's not my dad. Okay? All right? But you said dad, and he said son. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I run out there, and I'm chasing after him, and he's getting into the car, and I come flying at him, grab his leg, and I'm pulling his leg like I'm pulling your leg, okay? All right? I love Long Beach, California. It's always been dear to my heart, all right? And hopefully that wakes you up a little bit, all right? It's dear to my heart. Long Beach, California is dear to my heart. I love the Cambodian food here, amen. I didn't get any for 11 years. My wife tried. It didn't work, but that's okay, all right? Thai food right down the corner, okay? So I love Long Beach, and I love you folks. Thank you folks for being so faithful. Many of you folks have been here, especially the Cambodian people. You have been here since the beginning. And I remember each and every one of you. I remember JJ being that little chubby kid he is, right? I remember every single one of you here. I remember Timothy Esposito and Allison Myers. I remember pulling them in a red wagon in the nursery, you know? I remember those days. Those days were fun. I just want to say thank you for being faithful, okay? Now to the message. I'll be done. 5 minutes now. Here we go. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 16, "And as many as walk accordingly to this rule, peace on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this time. I pray that you just bless this message. We love you now. Use me and help me to be an encouragement to the folks here at Pacific Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. I hate rules. If you know me, I hate rules. One reason why I hate rules is because Brother Esposito placed those rules on me. And coming to this school since I was in ninth grade and taking my super senior year because my pastor said it's a good idea. Nope, because Avat deserved it. I hate rules. Because every time I came to school, Brother Pineda, my English teacher or my science teacher, would say, "Got to go to Brother Esposito's office." And Brother Esposito had this thing. Oh, my soul. It was the Board of Education. It was Uncle Woody. I didn't like it. And let me tell you something about it, okay? All right? It really became my uncle, all right? It really did. And I heard it a couple times, okay? So look, we all hate rules. We all hate waking up and there's rules that are placed in our life. Rules of this, I gotta do this as a husband. I can't cheat on my wife. I can't talk to another lady. Rules for wives, I can't talk to another man. Alone, in a car. There's rules. Teenagers, there's rules. Rules that are placed in our life. We don't like them, but guess what? We have them. Brother Robert, you have rules for your daughters, and you have rules for your kids. You have rules for the people in your household. There are rules. The reason why there are rules is to protect you.
That's right.
Now you're like, "Oh, Brother Vaught, I break them all the time." Well, every time I broke them, I got swats. It didn't work, right? But rules are placed in our life to help us. If you don't understand how rules control your life yet, okay, then you're living a life of sin right now. Because God gave us some rules in the Bible on how to live by. We have the Ten Commandments. We have different ways we ought to live. Matthew chapter 5. There are rules we ought to live by as Christians. There are also laws in this land that we have. We can't run over a red light, okay? Can't get mad at Brother Daniel and run him over, okay? It doesn't work that way, okay? There's rules. Now, check this out. There's rules that Paul gave to us here on how to help the brethren in church. How to help the brethren in church. Here, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault..." Aha, I caught you. Overtaken. Got caught. You got caught. You got caught from stealing. You got caught lying. You got caught doing something you're not supposed to be doing. Aha, it's not our job. When the Bible says overtaken, it's not our job to be policemen of our church members, of the sinners sitting here. It's not our job to go, I know what you're doing. You know, some of us, I was a staff at a church, and my previous church, Regency Baptist Church, and you know what? We love people. Staff, we love you. But here's the deal. Sometimes we don't like it when you're just trying to look at my life as staff, that there's something wrong with him. He wore the wrong shirt to church today. Or his wife, you know, should have wore this. Or his sons should have done this. Okay? We don't like that. Why? Because it's not your job. It's God's job. That's right. God's job is to correct me. God's job is to correct you. It's not our job to wake up in the morning and say, who can I find today who has fault? It's not our job. So overtaken by fault, some of us in here, we have been overtaken by some fault. We have been. It's not our job. But you know what? Just so you know, some of us in here, we've been overtaken. We've been trapped. We've been trapped. We've been entangled in what? In that fault. What's fault? Fault is not the moral failure. It's not us doing what we're not supposed to do, or I didn't follow by these rules, or I didn't do what my wife told me to do. Paul is talking about the habitual sin, which enslaves us to do God's will. So as I go to church, I go to church to find God's will. I don't go to church to have somebody finding fault in me to tell me I have done something wrong. That's God's job. So as I go to church, I want somebody to help me. Amen. And I'm going to tell you who needs to help me. The Bible says here in the same place here, overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Spiritual means what? We're having a Bible study today. I'm going to help you today. Spiritual. You think to yourself, Brother Vaught, I'm spiritual. Some of you say, I don't even know what spiritual is. Some of you say, help me with what spiritual means. Spiritual. Ye that are spiritual. We have to have, in order to help somebody who's been overtaken by fault, we have to have a spiritual solution. Not a solution where I come up and say, hey, look what you've done. I'm going to take you to the pastor. No, a spiritual solution. That means I have to be spiritual. So today, I'm going to talk to the spiritual ones. Because the Bible said the spiritual ones. Why? Because if you're not spiritual, you also will be overtaken by their faults if you're trying to help out somebody in their faults. Right. You got to be spiritual. The spiritual person in Galatians chapter 5, the spiritual person, ye that are spiritual. I'm going to help you here. If you're not spiritual, man, let's make a decision to be spiritual. If you are, let's keep it that way. If you don't know, let's find out. Here we go. In order for us to obey Galatians chapter 6, we have to first obey Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want to be a spiritual person? You got to walk in the Spirit. That means you got to wake up in the morning. That means you got to read your Bible. That means you got to pray. That means you got to spend time with God. That means when it's time to go soul winning, you got to go soul winning. That when it's time to go on a bus route, go on a bus route. That when it's time to shut something that you're not supposed to be watching or listening to, that means you got to shut it down. You have to walk in the Spirit. You're like, Brother Vaught, I am walking in the Spirit. Did you realize something? Walking is daily. Walking is daily. I don't sit down one day and the next day I run and the next day I walk. No, I walk every single day. Some of us, we walk to the kitchen every single day, okay? Every single day we're walking. We have to walk daily in the Spirit. If you want to know right now if you're spiritual, are you walking daily is the question. And then after you walk daily, guess what? While you're walking in the Spirit, your desires are fulfilled by the Spirit and is stronger than the desires of the flesh. That means
When you are walking with God, the flesh doesn't come out. The flesh doesn't, it doesn't come out on each other. You're not using your flesh and getting mad at your fellow brethren in the church or your husband or your wife or your kids. You do it in the spirit because you're walking in the spirit. And while you're walking in the spirit, number two, says here in verse number 18, Galatians chapter 5, but if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. You have to be led by the spirit. Oftentimes I hear Christians say this, the spirit led me to lead that person to the Lord. The spirit led me to get that job I wanted. The spirit led me to buy that car. The spirit led me to buy that house. No, the spirit didn't lead you to do that. The spirit didn't lead. Paul's not talking about that type of leading by God. God's talking about when you walk in the spirit, you're now led by the spirit. Don't know what that is, but it's God. You're now walking. So in order to be led by the spirit, you got to first be walking in the spirit. God doesn't lead a person. He doesn't. Now he talks to us, but he doesn't lead you to do the work of the Lord if you're not walking in him. He doesn't lead you. You're like, oh, Brother Vod, I led somebody to the Lord the other day. Was it by the spirit? Was it by the flesh? But I know how to do it. I know the Romans road, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, John 3:16, Romans 10:9. I know it all. Is it by the flesh or by the spirit? Because if it was by the spirit, you were walking the whole week before Tuesday by the spirit. That's somebody spiritual. I just got a puppy. How many like puppies? Girls like puppies? We got an English white lab. It is 5.5 weeks old. Oh, it's cute. Oh, it's cute. All right. Every 2 hours, myself, I have my son Carson. He's in charge of the dog. Every 2 hours, we got to wake up. And guess what we have to do? We have to take it outside. Because if we don't, it's going to be all over the floor in the house. So we got to take it out. And we have to train it. We have to lead it to its spot. So that every time that spot is the spot he uses the restroom or she uses the restroom. And then we have to teach it how to sit, and it listens. Then we have to teach it how to jump, and it listens. We have to teach it how to lay down and turn around, and it listens. It's just got a spirit. Being led by the spirit implies following the will of God. That's how we know we're spiritual. We walk in the spirit, and then God can now use us and leads us to walk in the spirit to do another thing here. In verse number 22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We have to bear fruit of the Spirit. That means whoever is around me, I'm bearing that fruit because I've been walking in the Spirit. So people know, yeah, he's walking with God. He's reading his Bible. He's praying. He loves the Lord. He goes soul winning. He leads people to Christ. People are getting baptized because of him. So now my fruit, my kids, my wife, they are now bearing my fruit. I have now have the same fruit that I have around me. Because a spiritual person, they make other people spiritual. As we yield to the Holy Ghost, we are allowed, we allow his fruit to be evident in our life. We go to work. How many work in the regular work field? All of us, right? When we go to work, is it evident that we walk in the Spirit, that we're led by the Spirit, and that we're bearing fruit by the Spirit? Are we spiritual? You're like, Brother Vod, I thought I was spiritual. I thought the things I was watching made me spiritual. I watch Joe Osteen at 1 o'clock in the morning, so I'm spiritual. I go to church every day because I'm spiritual. No, when's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you stood up and said, God, today I'm going to lead somebody to the Lord? Tuesday, went out soul winning. Before we left the car, we prayed, God, may we lead someone today. And I was able to lead a man by the name of Roman, 21 years old, discharged from the army. And I will follow up on him. I want to see him baptized. Being led by the Spirit is doing the things that God told us to do here in the Word. Walk in him. Be led. Bear the fruit. And then guess what happens now? Here we are. Because we walk in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, bearing fruits in the Spirit. In verse number 25, if we walk in the Spirit, let us also walk. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We are living in the Spirit. That makes us, what's that word? Spiritual. Now, you might say to yourself, Brother Vaught, I haven't done that this whole time. Make that decision right now. You're like, it's not, church's not over yet. Make the decision right now. Because you cannot listen to what I'm going to talk about in Galatians chapter 6 until you make that decision to become spiritual, to help someone. Otherwise, you will be overtaken by whoever it is in here, or whatever family you have, by their faults. You got to make that decision. If you are, let's listen to this message. If you're not, and you don't want to be spiritual, this is not for you. You might as well tune me out and not worry about what I'm going to talk about here. But if you say, Brother Vaught, I want to do it, you make that decision right now, then we can listen to Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, the ones that are listening here, I'm going to give you 9 rules given by Paul how we can help the brethren that's been overtaken by fault. This chapter is not about directed to the ones that fell into fault, okay? But to those who is aimed to help the fallen. It's for us. Now, if you're right now, but Bolivar, I'm the one that's fallen. I need help. Well, great. Hopefully this message will be help to someone who's spiritual that they can go and help you. Yeah. But Bolivar, what do I do? Here it is. Number one, restore. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We are not in the business as a Christian to rejection. We're in the business of restoring our brethren. That's what Paul is saying. We're here to restore each other. What do you mean restore? I'm not a guy who puts things together, you know? Like Brother Tim, build me a desk, he'll build me a desk. You know, I can't do that stuff. I never changed my oil before. I go to Jeffy Lube, finish it up, we're done. Right? My wife tells me to fix things, I'm like, I can't do that. I don't know how to restore and put things together. I just buy new things. In a Christian life, we can't do that. We can't just buy new people. Okay? We have to restore them. We have to try to fix them. Put them back together. I'm going to go down the list and we're done because I got like 10 minutes. After we restore, after we're in the business of restoring, we ought to bear each other's burdens. Verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm going to have Brother George up here real fast. Brother George, I'm going to need you 3 guys real fast, real quick. Here we go. Run. Here we go. All right. I'm going to help you understand how this all works. So Brother George here, he got some muscles, I think. Okay. Let's put here. These are burdens. These are what you call burdens, okay? All right? These are burdens. Now, what are burdens? You know, my dog died. No, that's not a burden, okay? All right? Look, burdens are my son ran away. My daughter ran away. My mom and dad, they're not saved. I lost my job. My wife is doing something she's not supposed to be doing behind my back. Those are some burdens, all right? Burdens, maybe for missions. Burdens for missions. Burdens. Bear ye one another burdens. Here we are. So Brother George here, we're going to make it quick. Brother George here have some burdens. These burdens are heavy, right? They're pretty heavy. It gets heavier. Gets heavier, okay? He doesn't like this. But it gets heavier, okay? All right? Don't drop that on your toe, okay? We need EFL drivers. No. Here we go. It gets heavier. And I have more, and I can put on more. How many think I should put on more? These get heavy. The longer he carries his burden and he has nobody to help him with these burdens, the longer it hurts him. Yep. Amen. This is why we always say, what happened to that person in our church? What happened to that person that used to go to Bible college? What happened to that person that used to do this? They used to teach a Sunday school class. They used to run a bus route. What happened? Because of these burdens. Now you're like, I know the burdens. But check this out. If I were to move the burdens to here, does it get lighter? You get lighter? Yeah, a little lighter, huh? And let's move a couple of these ones. Let's move them over here. Did that get lighter? Now, I don't want to move it to one person. Because then he now have the whole burden. We're going to separate the burdens. And then we'll go here. Maybe we'll do this one right here. This is how we bear each other's burdens. We share it.
There you go.
Not one person take it. We take their burdens, and then we put our hands over them and say, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Thank you, guys. You can put it right there if you want. Okay? Just put it right there. Thank you. Thank you. Give them a big hand. They're good. They're good. Bear you one another's burdens. We have to develop the skills for detecting the burdens of others and devote yourself to making them right. When somebody has been overtaken by fault, we carry their burdens for them. You're like, Brother Vaught, everything's going good. I have a job, I have a car, everything's going good. Now, why would I want to carry somebody's burdens? Well, the Bible says you have to.
Yes, sir.
We'll move on. Don't measure your moral achievements by the people's faults. Measure them by the law of Christ. The Bible says fulfill the law of Christ. You're like, what is the law of Christ, Brother Vaught? Remember the time in John chapter 8? You remember the time when the lady came in and they threw her to the ground? The Pharisee says, she committed adultery. Moses' law. And what happened? Jesus said, hold on. Got to the ground, wrote on the sand. You cast your first stone if you have not sinned. And guess what? They left. We don't measure. Because of somebody's fallen, we don't measure. Hey, I'm so much better than them. They quit on God. Now, here it is. Let's move on because we're due to time. The Bible says, number four, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burdens. We must prove ourselves. So number one, we must restore. Two, we bear each other's burden. Bear ye each other's burden. Number four, prove. Don't try to lighten the load of your faults by comparing yourself to a failing brother or sister. Why? Because someday you have to bear your own load in judgment. That's why. And then, after we go to prove, now I'm going to quick, we have to communicate, encourage each other. In verse number six, let us him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. We have to communicate. What's communicate? Encourage each other, respect each other, love, exhort one another. Keeping each other accountable. We should be able to say, hey, what did you read in your Bible today? What did God give you today? Can I help you today? Can I pray for you today? These are the things that need to help a person in our church, a brethren, that needs help. Here it is. Then we have to sow and reap. Verse number 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For a man soweth, there shall he also reap. There's a story about a man. He asked his servant to sow barley. The servant sold oats. The master asked why he sold oats. The servant replied, I hope to grow barley. The master said, what a foolish idea. Whoever heard of that? The servant replied, you yourself constantly sow seeds of evil and yet expect to reap the fruits of virtue. We reap what we sow. If you have a burden today, and it was that much of what George is holding, wouldn't you like somebody to help you?
Yep.
Absolutely. Let's share it. Let's help the person. And then we go, verse number 9, and let us not be weary. It's tiring helping someone. It's tiring. Helping someone takes late nights. Picking up a phone call. Taking them out to eat. Buying them coffee. Takes some time. Pray for them. And then we have the opportunity. As we have therefore opportunity, let us go, let us do good unto all men, especially, I love this one, especially unto them who are the household of faith.
Amen.
That means the staff.
Yep.
Okay? Especially. Communicate. Love them. Opportunity. Find it. Find a way to encourage our pastor. Find a way to write them daily. Find a way to text them daily. Especially. Why? Because we carry a lot of burdens. We know a lot of things that go around the church. We carry it. We're not allowed to talk about it. So we carry it because somebody said, please don't tell no one. So we carry this big of a load. We don't carry this much. We carry the big one. So it's okay to encourage the pastor and the staff once in a while.
Yeah.
Ye, Another one. Write to them. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Write with your own hand. Write them a letter. Whoever it is, encourage them. Stay right with God. Stay right with God. Don't quit. These are simple things, don't you think, that Paul's given us? And we look over past this. And as many as desire to make a fair show in thy flesh, in verse number 12, we have to desire that they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest thou should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Sometimes, we want people to do it to us, but we don't do it to other people. Sometimes we want people to live for God, but we don't live for God. Sometimes we want people to be spiritual, but we're not spiritual. You guys see that? A lot of times. Guess what? As we go over these nine things, we must restore, bear ye one another, prove thyself, communicate, sow and reaping, weary, don't quit, find opportunities, write a letter, desire to see someone do the work of the Lord and not quit. Guess what? We follow those nine rules. You can't skip those rules. Because why? The longer I'm a Christian, the more I'm aware of my own wickedness in my heart. I can identify with this hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know, I hear this all the time. I'll never quit on God. I come back to this church, been 11 years, and there's some people not here in those seats. They once wanted to be pastors. They once wanted to be a staff member and a missionary. Where are they at now? Because they didn't sit back and go, prone to what? Oh, man, I wonder if someday I'm going to forget God. I wonder if someday my kids are going to forget God. I wonder if someday the next generation is going to forget God. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to help someone. Because that's going to keep myself from what? From thinking about myself. I'm going to help someone. I'm going to find something that I can help with around the church that can help someone. Look, the Holy Spirit is contagious. As you go around and you're helping people, it's contagious. If our church right now, if we helped each other and we did these nine things that Paul is saying, these nine rules, we hate rules, but if we did it, could you imagine what type of Christians would be in here today? Could you imagine how packed this, I mean, it's always packed, but how more packed we can get? Could you imagine if we found something about our pastor and we can write him a letter and our pastor is zealous about serving the Lord even more? You understand, for him to take over a church with a building vision and a college vision, that's pretty tough. If you haven't wrote him a letter yet and thanked him for taking over this church, that's something wrong. We ought to find an opportunity to help our pastor. Because he's carrying a lot of burdens. Yes. Burdens. Help him. So this message is not face ripping or anything like that. I just want to help the church family. I was going through some things, not me, myself, but a friend of mine. And they needed somebody to bear their burdens. They needed somebody to communicate with them. And it helped them. They needed somebody to write to them. They needed somebody to encourage them. They needed somebody to say, hey, everything's going to be okay. And it helped them. It helped the person. If we do that to each and every one of everyone in here when they have a burden, guess what? We'll be okay as a church. So I pray that today is just a blessing to you to know that God gave us the exact way to help each other. Because he could have left it out, but it's there. I thank you so much for listening. We're out of time, but I thank you so much for listening. And I want to end with this. As a layman for 10 years, I didn't know what God was going to do in my life. I did not know. All I wanted to do was serve God. All I wanted to do was do what I'm doing today. And I'm glad I stayed faithful. I had no idea what was going to happen. There's not a, right now, it's shocking to me that I'm up here right now. But you know what? God had plans. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Just keep serving God if you're right now been overtaken by fault. Hopefully this message, there were some people that can help you. The one that's been overtaken by fault. Don't quit. Don't quit. We're all here for each other. We're the family-friendly church, amen? Right? And thank you so much. Your faithfulness have encouraged me to stay faithful. Just to keep staying faithful, each and every one of you, even your kids. And I just want to thank you for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. And I thank you for the word of God. If it wasn't for the word of God...